Television's annual Emmy Awards were presented last night, and the traditional fall TV season begins tonight. TV critic David Biancooley has some thoughts about both and pinpoints the new season's two best shows.
Before cable TV earned enough respect to be invited to the Emmy party, before it crossed the 50% threshold of American TV homes, that industry threw its own annual party, the Cable Ace Awards. Last night, cable did so well, and over-the-air broadcast networks so poorly, it was almost like watching the Ace Awards all over again. HBO's fabulous Angels in America swept the various categories in miniseries and deserved every one: Best Actor and Actress, Supporting Actor and Actress, Best Writer, Best Director. But even all the other nominees for Best Miniseries and for Best TV Movie came from cable this year. The broadcast networks didn't even compete in a category they used to own 20 years ago. Today, the broadcast networks are more like disowned from Emmy competition. Last night, if not for five measly shows from the Big Four networks, cable would have won every single Emmy. NBC's Frasier won three acting awards, but it's gone now. ABC's The Practice won three acting awards. It's gone, too, though winner James Spader will continue playing his character in a spin-off series, Boston Legal. NBC's The West Wing won for Best Actress, thanks to Allison Janney. CBS got its only Emmy for a reality series, The Amazing Race. And the major award won by a broadcast network this year for outstanding comedy was won by Fox, one of three Emmys given to its daring, delightful Arrested Development. Actually, a cable series, HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm, should have won in that category. But cable has no reason to complain. Not when The Daily Show, The Sopranos, Deadwood, Sex and the City, Monk, and the telemovie Something the Lord Made all got statuettes. Angels in America, all by itself, earned more Emmys than CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox combined. That's astounding. For them, it should be embarrassing. Maybe that's why, this TV season more than ever, the broadcast networks are adopting cable models to shape and launch their new shows. For years, HBO has built a Sunday night franchise by running episodes of one series each week without interruption, like The Sopranos, then replacing it with something else given the same treatment, like Deadwood. This year, ABC is trying that with Alias, which won't return until after the new Desperate Housewives is over, and with NYPD Blue, which starts an uninterrupted run tomorrow night that will continue until it ends its final season in December. That's a good move, very viewer-friendly. Another cable model the networks are adopting is the idea of launching new shows outside of the competitive fall season. Cable used to do that for a reason, to get notice when the networks weren't hogging all the attention. But now the networks are doing it. NBC launched its new season the day after the Olympics ended, and Fox this year is in the midst of a four-tiered, 52-week schedule that has even TV critics totally baffled about what's what and what's coming when. At Fox, all I know is that 24 isn't returning until 2005. The abandonment of the unified fall season launch by most of the broadcasters is immensely stupid. Most of their shows aren't strong enough to get attention on their own, and spreading out the fall launch over several months only dilutes what's left of the excitement. CBS and ABC seem to understand this and are launching their new seasons this week. And the two best shows this year come from ABC, a network that hasn't taken many chances lately. This year, it's presenting two new dramas that are so good. Listen to this compliment and everything it implies. They could have come from cable. One of them is Desperate Housewives, a primetime soap with a great cast, a mix of mystery and humor, and a suburban snappiness that seems like equal parts David Lynch, John Waters, and Melrose Place. I'll give that a fuller review when it premieres next month, but keep an eye out for it. The one arriving sooner, also on ABC, is called Lost and premieres Wednesday. One of its creators is J.J. Abrams of Alias, and Lost is even more dense and unpredictable than that series. Lost is about a commercial airliner that crashes way off course on a mysterious island. Eventually, the survivors have to figure out not only why they crashed, but where they are, what dangers lurk in the jungle, why they're not being rescued, and other major question marks. We also learn about each character gradually, through flashbacks, as well as through their actions after the crash. Matthew Fox from Party of Five is the first person we see on Lost. He plays a doctor, and spends the beginning 12 minutes of the show tending to others before taking time to tend to himself and a nasty gash in his side. He takes a travel sewing kit and asks a dazed survivor walking by, played by Evangeline Lilly, to give him some stitches and close the wound.
I might throw up on you.
You're doing fine.
You don't seem afraid at all. I don't understand that.
Well, fear's sort of an odd thing. When I was in residency, my first solo procedure was a spinal surgery on a 16-year-old kid, a girl. And at the end, after 13 hours, I was closing her up, and I accidentally ripped her dural sac. It's right at the base of the spine where all the nerves come together. It's membrane, as thin as tissue. And so it ripped open. And the nerves just spilled out of her like angel hair pasta. Spinal fluid flowing out of her. And the terror was just so crazy. So real. And I knew I had to deal with it. So I just made a choice. I'd let the fear in, let it take over, let it do its thing, but only for 5 seconds. That's all I was going to give it. So I started to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And it was gone. Sewed her up and she was fine.
If that had been me, I think I would have run for the door.
No, I don't think that's true. You're not running now.
Believe me, though, she does some running later. So does everyone else in a show that's loaded with twists and turns, that has the look of a major motion picture, and that more than any other has me waiting excitedly for the second episode. For most of the other new shows this fall, it's not even worth watching the first episode. And you're likely to see that reflected next year, once again, at the Emmys.
David Biancooley is TV critic for the New York Daily News.